5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I reckon I woke up a bit secondhand.
Put moron number two on the phone.
The beer monkey dropped by.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, great to have your company joining the Rush Hour. And I tell you what, you'll have a very nice hour just kicking back and listening to some of the best names in the game of AFL. I tell you, Bill, our producer Jill does a great job of lassoing the talent. Tim Membry is going to join us today from the Saints.
Timmy.
Love the way he goes about it. Jai Simpkin, very, very talented young man from the North Melbourne Football Club, joins us as well. Speaking of talent, don't know what happened to yours. Fat, nice speaking to you.
G'day, Jimmy boy. You know where Jai Simpkin is from, Jim?
Nope.
Marutna.
Oh.
Yeah, you know where that is, Jim?
Nope.
Just out of Shepparton, but spot up there, the Marutna Cats.
Nah, he's got good tricks, Jai Simpkin.
Great to be with you. Bowlbeds from Marutna, Paul Brown.
Nice,
but great to be with you, and great to see this man here, Ewan, with the nice feathers.
An ecstasy tablet, or as young people call it, a pinga.
A pinga.
Oh, come on.
Come on,
it's
Al.
Actually a pinga.
Thank
better
you,
than that, Al.
A pinger. But anyway, now, Jim, big
please.
Night for the Brisbane Lions Footy Club last night in the Hall of Fame. Two of their superstars, Simon Black and Jonathan Brown.
Big Jono Brown.
So it was a big night for the colours, Jim.
Oh, they deserve it. Both of them, those players are superstars and deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Big night for the colours, Jim.
Oh.
Black and brown. But,
God. I actually question whether black is a colour, but anyway. Yeah.
The shade, isn't it? Black?
Mm, keep going.
Oh, so we're going to argue over colours now, are we? But,
you started it.
Simon
well, when
Black,
you come up with a joke that bad. Yes, go on.
Is there a better resume of a past player than Simon Black? I ask you two this. I'll go with you, Jim, first.
No, I can't think of it. It is extraordinary what he achieved as a player. It is extraordinary.
322 games, of course. Three-time premiership player, club captain. Brownlow medalist.
Oh, yes.
Best and fairest time three. Norm Smith medalist. So they're the two big ones, aren't they? The All Australian. Have you got one, you?
No, mate.
No, he's a superstar.
No, he is. I suppose Luke Hodge, if I had to throw, but he didn't win a Brownlow, but Luke
Gary
Hodge
Ablett
maybe.
Jr., if you read through his, because he got a Brownlow. And
no, extraordinary. But, no, but you're right, Bill. He is an ornament to the game and as good a fella as you'll meet.
One of the best blokes ever, and he had this to say last night.
To be born in our great country, raised in a footy-mad state like WA, and be exposed to the greatest game in the world, I can't help but feel incredibly fortunate. To go on and experience what the game gave me is an absolute dream come true. I'm tremendously honoured to be inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame. Thank you to the AFL for this enormous honour.
Yeah, there he is there, Simon Black, and a superstar. I reckon he went pretty late when he got picked up by Brisbane. Because I know you look at these things later on, but the players that went before him, but what a superstar. And
Bill, I know for a fact that at the time the Richmond Football Club's recruiting bloke was sent to Perth.
Yes.
And was sent to have a look at him playing for East Fremantle, I reckon, in the Colts.
Yeah.
Because the then CEO of Richmond's brother had seen him playing Colts footy over in the West.
Righto.
Said, mate, get your recruiting bloke to come over here and have a look. This young bloke's going to be a jet. Went over and had a look. Now, I cut the recruiting bloke some slack, Bill. He might have caught him on a bad day. But he flew back, as I understand it, walked into the Richmond CEO's office and said, tell your brother not to give up his day job.
Oh, no.
So they passed on him. He went up to Brisbane, Bill, and became one of the all-time greats.
He went at pick number 31, Jim.
Yep, that's it.
So all the clubs have nearly had two picks.
No. We also should focus on John A. Brown, of course, the Koroit boy, the Koroit flyer, and one of the great footy families, of course, not only the Browns but the Mugovans, his beautiful mum, Mirza. But I tell you now, Bill, there was a man with presence, with leadership, again, the three premierships, but the captaincy, fairest and best on three occasions, all Australian, all the rest. Bill, he was a star of the game.
Actually, his resume is longer on Wikipedia because it goes through everything that he has done, but a superstar. the marks he used to take, how courageous he was, and he led them. He used to lead them beautifully, and he'd puff out the chest.
Oh, yes.
And when he'd give you that look, you know, because he's a very nice boy, as we know, and he loves a frothy, but when he'd give you that look on the ground, he was fantastic. So well done to Simon Black and Jonathan Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Good side, weren't they, Jim? They have those two.
They're going to have some Hall of Famers come out of that team over the journey, no doubt about it. What else you got, Fat?
Well, some not-so-good news over at Adelaide. Geez, they seem to have just some bad news after bad news. Andrew McLeod has come out, and he's on a podcast, Jim, which everyone's on a podcast nowadays, and he had this to say about the Adelaide Footy Club.
I'm one of those guys that, like, if you asked me if I felt comfortable walking back into the football club, I'd say no. Like, I don't walk into the change rooms and I don't sort of walk around. I just feel, I don't know, it's one of those things, and I've had this conversation with a lot of my old teammates, is that it's not a place that you feel, and you see lots of guys go back to their footy clubs and they feel welcome. For me, the Crows doesn't really have that vibe.
Doesn't have the vibe, the Crows. They haven't got a culture. Because I reckon we've spoken about this before, Jim. Port Adelaide have got a culture, you know, history and all that. Whereas Adelaide were made, weren't they?
They were, but I don't reckon. Well, let's have a listen to Mark Ricciuto, because, of course, our man from the breakfast show over there with old tubby ass Dittmar. He's on the board of Adelaide, and this is what he had to say.
I was really disappointed to hear it yesterday, to be honest. It's, you know, for everything that Andrew's done for the club and what he's given to the club, for him to feel like that when I first heard it, I thought, why would he feel like that? Andrew's not a sort of bloke that goes out and mixes a lot. He said, I rang him yesterday. I said, why are you like this? He said, I actually haven't got an issue with the past players. He's not a very social person, Andrew. Every past player that goes back to their club feels awkward when they go back there, Dits.
Why do you say that?
When you go back into a club, you don't walk back in there and feel like it used to, because it's not your club anymore.
That's interesting. Rue said that, who's a superstar of the Adelaide club. But I tell you, Jim, you do feel awkward when you walk back. I know at the Geelong club, and I do go down there with a jumper and get it signed and sell them off. But it is interesting, because you walk in there and you only need one coach or assistant coach or someone that works at the club just to look at you and you go, oh, shit, should I be here? You know, it's quite interesting.
But
And Steve Hocking was that man. Steve Hocking used to look at you and you go, oh, hang on, am I here? Or should I be here? And things like that. You know, it's really interesting.
You are a past player, so you can talk from first-hand experience. But in my time at North, that was where blokes like Donald McDonald and Darren Crocker were so important because they worked at the club were also legendary past players. So let me think of an example. If a Fruity Allison or a Matty Larkin or someone like that came down to the club, they grabbed them, they walked in, they said, Jack Zeeb, get up off your chair. This is Matty Larkin, a three-time best and fairest player at our club. And Zeebs would walk over, and then Zeebs would introduce him to Mad Jack and to everyone else. And so you need those fabric blokes. They're the ones that break down, you know, because Roo's right. The past players wonder if they're going to be welcome, whether players are going to even know who they are.
That's right.
But if you've got a Donald McDonald or a Croc at North anyway, it makes such a big difference.
No doubt about that. But I'm telling you, if you walk through the gates and then through the doors, you do feel awkward. There's no doubt about that. Even though, and that's Rue saying that, or if you only played 10 games, it'd be a lot worse. You do. It's quite interesting. So,
well, Bill, as you know, I'm a legend of South Australian cricket.
And
never been in the rooms since I finished playing.
Never been invited?
And I'm not a legend.
No.
No. But I've just never, ever walked in there, because cricket rooms are even worse. Like, you walk in there and you do feel like 11 blokes are looking at you going, what do you think you're doing here?
That's right.
So, yeah, I get what Rue's saying, but good clubs get past that.
No, you're right. And when you've got a couple of past players like those blokes at North, it does help. But let's hope they can sort that one out. Because wasn't he a super player, Andrew McLeod?
How good. Speaking of resumes, bloody hell.
Speaking of Steve Hocking, he's put out a communications broadsheet today. Communications broadsheet.
Broadsheet.
So, and then what he said from round two, Jim, those players that aren't selected, the non-selected players in the AFL, virtually play a scratch match against another AFL club. It's got to be on an AFL ground. The AFL clubs to determine how long it goes for, the session and things like that. But that gives the boys like young Oscar that won't get a game in the ones, at least they're still playing footy and can have a kick and things like that. So that's good.
Beautiful.
That came out today. And just before we go, another great start from Anthony William. Channel 7, Jim, your mob have axed two footy shows. talking really? Footy and game day on Sunday. They've both been axed, Jim. What's happening there?
I have no idea. I'm not, as you know, attached to either of them, but I am sad to hear that sort of thing happening, yeah. only because, as you know, Bill, with the Sunday Footy Show on Nine,
yeah.
magnificent people are attached to putting those shows
spot
to air.
Spot on.
And yeah, great floor staff, you know, cameramen, sound people, yeah, all yeah. those, you know, they're just wonderful. So if shows like that are going, it can often mean that people like that haven't got a job anymore. And that's when I see those things, I always feel for the people that you love seeing on the floor whenever you're going to do any form of television show. The crew are brilliant.
And you're spot on. A couple of cameramen have been at the Sunday Footy Show for years, like Little Beamsy. You don't know he's there because yeah. he's...
No, well, because he's a dwarf. No, then, he's tiny, Beamsy.
And then Dave.
Dave. Honestly, Dave used to be my locked-off camera at the footy show. And I used to say to him, Dave, all I ever get is people complaining that my camera wanders around all the time because you can't keep the bloody thing
that's
still.
Exactly right. And he's still there, Jim.
Oh, he can't actually, be.
He'd be the same, saying the same about me. But anyway, who we got
all right,
up next?
Very nice. We got Tim Membry to join us, Jai Simpkin to join us, or Big Show.
This is the Rush Hour, JB and Billy on Triple M.
Slaps behind him to Zeeble. That was good. Little hand pass to Simpkin. Broke one tackle, broke a second. Forward pocket, little snaps of beauty. Jai Simpkin, a little bit of magic.
And now, Bill, this yep. young man was taken number 12 in the 2016 draft. I was still at North Melbourne when he was taken. I remember our recruiting staff being over the moon. He has got a very, very full trick bag, Jai Simpkin, and he joins us now. Welcome to you, Jai.
Hey, JB, Bill, thanks for having me on.
And he's from Maroochydore, Jim, which is up just out of Shepparton. Some good footballers have come from Maroochydore, Jai. Who's been the best?
There's been a few come out of there. I'd say Clayton Oliver, even though he originally lived in Echuca, but he played most of his footy in Maroochydore.
Yeah, Maroochydore Cats, of course.
Maroochydore Cats, yes, that's right.
Harbrow?
Up there. Jared Harbrow.
Harbrow, yep. And there's a bloke running around, mate, in my day when I used to play up there, Gary Cooper. Geez, he's a good player.
Yeah, no, he's got his photo up in the club rooms. I think he won a couple of Morris medals up there. He's a legend of the club.
You know who else is from there, Jim?
Who?
Bowlbed. Paul Brown.
Oh, Paul Brown.
Bowlbed. Do you know Bowlbed? Do you know Paul, Jai?
I do. I know Paul Brown. He actually works with me old man, so... Oh. No, he's a funny man, old Brownie.
Good.
Hey, Jai, one of the great stories, I reckon, because you sort of snuck a bit under the radar, which is hard to do when you pick 12, and that gave you a nice bit of time to find your feet in AFL footy. Brad Scott, I know, took you under his wing when he first got there, and then you've now got Reece, but you've just been able to develop into the footballer you now are.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting there. Still got a bit to work on, but my last few years, I was pretty slow, but I think over the last year, I sort of... got a bit of form and hoping to build again this season.
Is that because you were such a naturally gifted kid and you came into the system and, as I said at the start, the amazing trick bag, you know, the candies and all that sort of stuff. Is it hard to bring that sort of game into the AFL when you're playing against, you know, the Dangerfields and people like that?
Yeah, 100%. Also, I didn't play for a year in my 18th year due to breaking my leg. So I think it took me a while just to get that fitness and a bit of strength back, but as you see, I'm smaller than the rest of them, so I've got to have a few tricks up my sleeve.
I was going to say, you look like a scun rabbit. You're pretty thin.
Yeah, I'm about 76 kilos, dripping wet, so...
That's one of my legs.
Exactly right. Hey, I've got to have a few other things.
No, mate, you're a star. I love the way you go about it. Tell us about isolation for you, because you have been isolated.
Yeah, I've been... up and about doing a few different things. As soon as the season finished and the isolation came about, I actually went up to Kununurra, which is in WA with my girlfriend and her family.
Let me try and say it right. Kununurra?
Kununurra.
Yeah, that's it. And Bill, I don't know if you've ever been to Kununurra. No. That is in the middle of nowhere. It's near the border of Western Australia and Northern Territory, right up the top, and she's nice and hot, Jai.
Tell us about it, Jai, yeah.
Oh, it was pretty good. It was 38 degrees every day. I was living the life for a little bit of fishing, camping, just those sort of things we couldn't do down here.
I see Alicia is your girlfriend and she lives up there. Yep. Is that the reason obviously you're up there? She's a model. But also you caught a goanna one day and you just ate that and sat down and ate that, mate.
Yes, we did a little bit of fishing, seen a goanna and there was about eight of us who chased it through the bush and finally got our hands on it, chucked her straight in the fire and had a nice little feed.
What's it taste like? And don't say chicken.
No, it's got its own little taste. It's a little bit fatty, but anything cooked enough with a bit of salt tastes all right for me.
Hey, you get nice leadership amongst the Indigenous boys at North, and I know Jed Anderson's right at the front of that, and he's a Northern Territory boy and drags all the boys up there to go fishing and all the rest. Have you been up there and done that with him?
Yeah, I did. Last off-season, I went up to Darwin and got a day out in the boat with him. Caught a few barra and a few other things, but he actually just got back today. He just had a kid about 2 weeks ago, so he's just coming back to training this week, which will be nice.
Has he had a haircut?
I think he's still got his little girl top bun. Ben Cunnington's not happy with him, but
how are the feathers on Ben?
The feathers are grown back well and truly. He's flourishing at the moment.
Mate,
more confidence than he ever has.
I know.
I've got a strong suspicion because he's been isolating down at Warrnambool on his new farm. I reckon he's been rubbing his head on the the cows, and some of that cow hair's embedded it in his head.
Yeah, he must have a few black cows up there because he's definitely got a few black hairs now growing on his head.
That is funny. Has he ever spoken about it? Because, well, he doesn't talk, I suppose.
The boys half get into him a little bit at the start, but because it was all through the isolation, all the stuff, they've haven't had much of a chance, to be honest.
Have you ever come across, we know we've got to get to the break, have you ever come across, Jai, a more naturally strong human being than Ben Cunnington?
Oh, never in my life. He's a freak. He's not, you'd think he'd be a beast in the gym, but he's not overly strong. He's pretty average, but once you get on the footy field, geez, good luck to you playing against him.
Because he can go forward and kick goals. Like, he can be a full forward. He's so strong. So.
Yeah, we joke about calling Plugger when he's running down the square at training.
Hey, we need to get to a break, Jai. Stick around because we want to find out how you're going to go up there at GWS. Tough draw for the Kangas first up when we get back into the footy.
Too easy.
Jai Simkin joining us. And Bill, I love the way this man plays football because he expresses himself. As I said, the candy, the tricks are superb, and in front of goal knows what he's doing there as well. But you're going to have to be at your very best, Jai, in a week or so time because GWS in Sydney is about as tough as it gets.
Yeah, it's going to be a good battle, especially for us to see where we're at coming back from the big break. But the boys are ready to go. We've been training really well, and I think most of us can't wait to get up there.
Do you have a favourite ground, Jai? Because you got three in a row at Marvel. That's all after that.
Yeah, we play a lot of games at Marvel, yeah. So I'd probably say it's probably my favourite.
Were you named after anyone?
No.
No, all right. Because it's an interesting, it's just J-Y, Jim, whereas Jai Richardson, the cricketer for Australia, he's J-H-Y-E, so you can spell it all differently.
Thank you, Bill, for that. I appreciate it. Now, Majak Dawe, how are we going with him, please, Jai? We know he's had the pectoral issue, but he doesn't need surgery, so how far from playing is the great man?
Yeah, I spoke to him the other day, and I think the signs have sort of turned around from when he first initially done it. So I think 3 to 4 weeks, and hopefully he can be back up and running. He's done a lot more at training the last couple of days than I thought.
Wow, that's good.
And Jack Zeeble, who was going to miss 2 months of footy, now is going to play the next game he's available for.
Yeah, round one, does his knees, back round two. It's bizarre times, but how it's going at the minute.
Hey, what about poor old Benny Jacobs, mate? Is he is he down there or is he training? What's going on with Ben?
Yeah, he's in and out of the club. He's in a tough position at the moment. He's in and out a couple of days a week, but he's still going for further treatment at the moment. I think he's actually just gone to Sydney to try and get on I'm not 100% sure what it is, but he's just going to Sydney to get some more further treatment.
I see you live with Mason Wood. Now, is he, it'd be -5, but he'd still be walking around in a singlet to show his big cans, his big muscles. Is that true?
Oh, it could be, I reckon, -6 degrees, and he'd be walking around in his jocks like it's the middle of summer. He's happy with himself, that's for sure.
Oh, mate, I saw him in a supermarket in Geelong, and it was freezing. He had the singlet on, and he wasn't buying anything, just walking up and down the aisle so people could see him.
That sounds like Mason to me.
It's a very un-North Melbourne way to behave, by the way, that. And Mace needs to have a good hard look at himself. But, Jai, we were talking earlier about past players and how important they are to footy clubs. North Melbourne's got a very proud past player group, and you see plenty of them down in the rooms on the games and during the week.
Yeah, it's good to see. We have a few boys coming through. Not in the last little bit, obviously, but we've had Anthony Stevens in my first couple of years was around a lot. Yourself's been down there.
Past player.
Not necessarily a past player. But it's I know when a young player makes his debut, they find someone with the same number to come down and talk about it during the week, which is great.
Yeah, that's one of the great things I think our club does. One of the past players who wore that number comes in, presents to their player who's wearing it, and tells a bit of a story about his debut, which is awesome.
Who did that for you?
Oh, actually, I was one of the few who actually didn't get it, so I had 8 debut in my debut.
Eight first games. Wow.
That's nuts.
Pretty interesting.
Bloody over.
Anthony Stevens living down in Geelong now.
Selling rural real estate, doing very nicely too.
Rural real estate,
yeah, thank you. What else, Jai? What else have you been up to, mate? In the lockdown period, what else did you get? You know, do a cooking course? Was there something that you filled your time with while you're bored shitless?
My go-to at the minute's PlayStation. I think I'm a little bit addicted, to be honest. I've actually needed to get out of the way and get outside a little bit. But other than that, there's not much we can do.
What are you playing? Yeah. COD?
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Alicia, very nice. Where did you meet Alicia, your girlfriend?
It's a good question. So she goes to Melbourne Uni. She moved down from up north to go to Melbourne Uni and do her school teaching. And one of my mates went to Melbourne Uni as well. And we sort of just linked up through there.
Go up to Kununurra, and I know there's the waterfalls and swimming holes and all the rest of it. Have they got the big saltwater crocs up there, Joe?
Have they got them? They're bloody everywhere.
Well, what, mate, massive. you can't swim then, surely.
Jeez, they'd eat you, Joe. Nah. They'd one gulp.
They wouldn't even look at me, I don't reckon. I wouldn't fill them up. No, you can't really swim down there, only in knee-deep water, which is probably the safest thing you can do for swimming.
Bill, they're like 2 tons.
What?
They're 6 metres long, these bloody things.
So why do people swim in those holes, water holes?
It's 38 degrees outside.
Oh, fair enough. But you know you might get... That's a
stretch. Risk it for the biscuit, Bill.
Risk it for the biscuit.
No, thank you, Bill.
I like that.
Write it down, Bill. See if you can use that. Hey, Jai, good luck, mate. As I said at the top, a great player to watch play the game because you've got such natural expression, which is brilliant. Hopefully North can have a good day out against GWS and kick start this back half of the season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jai.
Yo.
Risk it for the biscuit, mate.
That's it.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M with JB and Billy.
So Membry frees fourth. He's only 10 metres out. Deep forward pocket. He's going to hook it across his body. There he goes. Membry City End puts it through. Celebrates with his mates.
Tim Membry. There you go. 3 M's in those 2 words. But he has joined us in 92 games now overall. 91 with St Kilda, Jim. 1 with Sydney when Buddy got injured and they just slipped him in. But kicked 44 goals last year.
Very good.
5th in the best and fairest. Had a very good year. Welcome, Timmy.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great to have you, mate. And you've played 40 games consecutively, which is in a row, Tim. So, mate, you've had a couple of good years, my friend.
Yeah, no, I've been, I guess, lucky that I've been able to put a few games together now. But, yeah, the body's holding up and a bit spewing that it's had to be put on the back burner at the moment.
And also, Jim was acting skipper in the practice game, which was a really good game down at Moorabbin. Great atmosphere there. And you're acting skipper. So, geez, you got leadership qualities too, Timothy.
Oh, yes. No, that's what they, I guess you spend a bit of time in the system and you become a senior player, Bill. So you have to, I guess, lead from the front at some stage. So no, that was good to do that role down there in front of a packed Moorabbin.
Yeah.
Oh, no, beautiful. The heartland. Hey, it must have annoyed you early. You just couldn't get the body right. What was it? Was it just because you're always quite big, even as a, you know, when you came into the competition, you were, you know,
what, not chubby,
muscly and heavy. Yeah. What was it that caused you to get so many injuries early?
Yeah, it probably was just, I guess, coming from a system, you know, in the under-18s competition where you're not exposed to, I guess, the bigger bodies and running the distances that you do. But it probably just took me a couple of years to get on top of those types of things and build the body up and, you know, be able to play consistent footy. So yeah, finally I feel like I've got myself to a position where I can do that.
You speak to a lot of young blokes who come into the AFL and they say it takes 3 or 4 years to learn how to work hard enough. You know, the pre-seasons are so hard and you just, as a young bloke, you've never been exposed to anything like that.
Yeah, it's true. Like the first year, you're probably looked after a little bit just with the load management and those types of things. But once, you know, your second, third, fourth year, you're still, you're just almost thrown in the deep end a little bit and, you know, you're either... you learn, you know, the hard way, just the grinding out sessions, and that's the only way to do it, is just to hang in there with the senior players and learn from those guys.
Well, you're the most senior forward now, members, so run us through the forward line, please. Where have we got Maxi King?
Yeah, Maxi King is also going to be an absolute superstar.
Yep.
But probably, I guess, for this year, you know, we'll look to maybe... have him stay at home a bit more. Right. You know, he's very dangerous in the air. Hard to defend. When he jumps at the footy, you know, he's a foot, 2 feet above everyone else. So it gives a lot of us other guys confidence that when we mark the ball outside, we can just launch it in there and hopefully he can do the rest.
So you got a nickname. Is it true that they call him Winx?
Yeah, the Winx. He's got legs like a racehorse. Just no fat on him at all. Just the leanest person you've ever seen.
And he chews up the turf, Jim. That's why they call him Winx.
Thank you,
Bill. So we got him staying deep. And then you got, who else you got up there? Yourself? You just saw, you run around and do whatever you want. And
high forward.
Who else you got? Gresh?
Yeah, we got Gresh, you were floating in there. We want to try and see him spend a bit more time in midfield just because he's clever and creative up there. But we've got Dan Butler who come across from the Tigers, Jack Loney, another small forward, and Dan Kent. They'll probably round out the small forwards. But, you know, we've got the resting ruck now, Paddy Ryder, played round one. So he's going to be very handy to have, you know, float down there and take some big marks too.
And, Tim, are you the voice? There's normally someone who organises a forward line. Are you the one that tells some of these little nipsies to get out of your space? And, you know, is that what part of your leadership job is?
Well, every young man, if you're in the way, you've got to tell them where to go. But, look, we've been pretty good. You know, Jack Loney, he's played a lot of footy now as a forward and very clever, always setting us up. He's been very good, but... even, you know, Dean Kent coming from Melbourne too, another one who's pretty vocal and helping us all get organised down there. So there's plenty of blokes that are good in that space.
All right, bit to talk to Timmy about next. Emily, my goodness, he's doing way too well for himself there. We need to find out how that happened.
What did she see in the tattoos?
We need to find that out. And also he heads up to Dr. Shoal Country up at Brighton and likes to get away in the ute up there, and we're going to see if he's come across the Button Man.
The Button Man, we'll ask him about that. And I've got a couple other things, Jim, too.
All right, beautiful.
Joined by Tim Membry from the Saints.
I love Tim Membry. Love how he goes about it, Bill, and doing nicely off-field as well. Now, what we like to see with, you know, like we're talking about a man that's come up from Traralgon.
Moe,
he's got the tats. He's, you know, a little rough around the edges, Bill. I think it's fair to say.
Yep.
Beautiful partner in life, fiancée Emily Jane, engaged last September. How the hell did that happen, Tim, please?
Very lucky. I was very lucky. Childhood sweetheart, got in pretty early before I got uglier.
Where's she from, Timmy?
She's from New Girl as well, so known each other for quite a while, but yeah, like I said, I had to get in earlier before I got ugly.
My strong suggestion, Tim, is you don't let her go.
And Jim said you like to get up in the high country up there in Bright. And we all heard about the Button Man on the weekend. I think Brian told us about it, Jim.
Yes, he did.
Have you run into the Button Man up that way?
I haven't in your travels, Bill. But I know certainly a bit of a creepy story going on up there. So I'll be definitely cautious next time I enter the high country. I'll be looking over my shoulder.
Hey, Bill, as you know, Craig Scholl, otherwise known as the Doctor or Toe Ball Head, he is owns the big caravan park up there, and he said, mate, business is flying.
Yes,
the Button Man, people are driving from everywhere to see if they can stumble across him.
I'm sure that, that'll be a big attraction. There'll be people, you know, wanting to get up there and see if they can find him, get eyes on him. The other people that'll be scared shitless and won't want to go up there. But It'll be great. It'll be good for business.
Righto. Now, Timmy, they tell me you are one of the messiest housemates ever. You leave your dirty old jocks and clothes lying around on the floor in the bathroom.
We know where this is coming from, Bill. My old housemate, Paddy McCartan.
Is it true?
No, it's not true. That was him. That was him.
No.
We used to share the same bathroom, and I'd get up for a shower every morning, and there'd be his undies spilling into the bathtub.
Lucy wouldn't have been around then. That would have been good. No. Also, he tells me you are the best dancer he's ever seen, and you can do the moonwalk better than Michael Jackson. Is that right?
Well, I've put the dancing shoes away now, Bill. I've matured a bit. So I'm not out clubbing anymore, but... No, I can do a good moonwalk. That's about all I can do. There was a video going around a while back. Yeah.
I like that when they can do the moonwalk, Jim. Aboriginal boys are very good at that, but that old member's doing it.
I reckon I've seen that vision, and it reminds me of myself cutting a rug fat. Now, members, let me ask you this, because tattoos are something I don't understand. My oldest son has got plenty of them. I look at him when he walks into my joint, I don't get it. But you are ferocious when it comes to the tats, but as I understand, everyone in the family is okay with it except for Nan.
It was pretty funny. She doesn't quite understand them either, Jim, so every time I go down there I can feel her just staring at me and looking at me, and I have to say to her, Nan, there's no more new tattoos. And she just shakes her head. I don't know why you talk to yourself,
but, good on her.
Yeah, she's a funny old doll.
Hey, I'll tell you what, the Saints, they look all right. They look a lot quicker, picking up Butler, as you said, Bradley Hill, who just runs and runs, Zach Jones. So you're certainly a lot quicker this year.
Yeah, that's something that we, addressed at the end of last season, that we probably needed to add a little bit more speed on the outside. But getting Jonesy in, who's a bit of a tough nut, can get in there and get it, and he's certainly got some leg speed as well. So, we're looking pretty good on the outside.
Hey, mate, what happened round one? I'm going to tell you what I was doing. I watched the first half because my young bloke's passionate North, especially the third one, George. I've never seen North Melbourne play worse than that. So I had something to do in the second half, but I said to him, I can't watch any more of this. So I walked out and did what I was doing. He came out an hour later and said North Melbourne had won, and I actually couldn't believe it. What the hell happened?
Yeah, look, we have had plenty of time to review the game, Jim, but it's just one of those things. I guess we started really well. We got the jump on North, and like any good teams do, they go into half time and they find out or work out what's not working for them. And I guess that North had done that. They stopped our ball movement going forward, and then we just weren't able to find other avenues going forward. They defended it really well. So, that's something that we've certainly addressed
weeks. You'll address that at round two, St Kilda v Western Bulldogs, Sunday, 14th of June, coming up against Josh Bruce. That'll be interesting, Timmers.
Yeah, it will. Coming up against me old mate.
Yeah.
He'll be at the other end of the ground, I'm assuming. So, no, it'll be a good match.
Timmers. Has anyone ever called you Timmers?
I've never had Timmers before.
Fair dinkum. Hey, mate, great chatting to you. Yeah. One of the great characters of the game, and that's all we love. Someone who just plays the game hard, but also just carries himself in a very authentic way. We love it, mate. Don't ever change, and good luck in this big game coming up against the Dogs.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Jim.
Timmy Membry there from the Saints. Stand by. I know you've been waiting for it. Billy's joke. I promise it will be, it'll be Bill's joke. You know exactly what's coming. You can listen at home on your smart speaker or on the Triple M app. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
As I said, don't ever say the big names don't come in here. Jai Simkin, love what he does. Tim Membry, love what he does. Mm. Two young stars of the comp, so brilliant chatting to them. Hey, tomorrow?
Yes, please.
Speaking of young stars, Noah Anderson, taken 2 overall in the draft by the Gold Coast Suns. Of course, Pooey Anderson's young bloke, used to play for the Hawks.
He was a good
Premiership
player, Dean.
Bloody oath he was. Premiership player on a number of occasions, I think, for Hawthorn. Yep. Mind you, any bastard in the 80s that turned up to that joint played in 4 flags, but he was a very good player. So looking forward to Noah Anderson. And, of course, our man.
Oh, no, Jim.
Tony Jones.
Chomp, chomp.
Chompity, chomp, chomp,
now,
chomp.
None of that tomorrow, Jim. I'll just give you a heads up, okay?
All right, because
he's my friend.
Way back in the day, we were doing a show. Oh, I think it was actually the Legends game, the EJ Witten Legends game.
Oh, no.
And Gary Lyon and myself were up the top there, and I had just walked past the chompers in the car park, and I noticed, Bill, that he'd had a dusting. Anyway, I walked up and said to Gaz, I'm pretty sure Tone's had some work done on his teeth. As you can imagine, the mischief came across his face. So anyway, we said, righto, well, we won't bring it up because we weren't sure. Anyway, we started the show. Up came the chompers. They didn't need the lights at Marvel Stadium. His teeth were that bright, Jim, it was lighting the joint up.
Please,
anyway,
don't go with it because he gets a bit shirty on a couple of things now.
He's from that older moment on, he was known as Chompers, and it's just taken off, and I absolutely love it. So looking forward to Tone joining us tomorrow. Now, Bill, the jokes haven't been great.
They have.
Oh, so let's something maybe today.
Well, guess what?
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
Well, guess what, Jim?
What?
They're not great again. But anyway, here we go. What about this, Jim? Yesterday, my neighbour with big boobs is outside gardening topless again, Jim.
What?
I just wish his wife would come out too.
Bill, come on, Bill.
Chesticles.
We've got to stumble across a better joke than
all
that.
Right, then.
Mulligan.
There was this bloke in Thailand, Jim.
Jim, the button.
When we went to Thailand, Jim.
No. Yui, turn him off.
You're off, Bill.
Oh, no. Am I there? Am I on?
Oh, come on.
Come on, Bill.
He's in tears, wasn't he?
Tears running down his face.